We're picking up again in our kind of on-off series over the past couple of years in Luke's Gospel. And tonight we're picking up again at Luke chapter 13, page 1046. So do please turn there in your Bibles. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be working through chapters 13 and 14 to hear what Jesus has to say to us at the start of this new year. And so as we begin this evening, let me lead us in a prayer and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares for us. You are a God who speaks to us, who tells us about yourself and about us. And we pray that as we look at these verses tonight from Luke chapter 13, that we will hear your warning, that you will give us soft hearts to hear what you have to say to us, and that we'll be responding to you in the right way as a result. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a very happy new year to you all. Thank you. Now, I wonder how you feel as we begin this new year. I wonder what your plans are for 2018, what your hopes are, what your dreams are for all the possibilities that might lie ahead. What are your priorities? What are your resolutions? Well, if like me, you haven't really given 2018 much thought, mostly because you're still trying to work out where 2017 went. Well, tonight Jesus helps us to plan our 2018, to work out what our year ahead should look like. He helps us to sharpen our focus as we look to work out what we should be doing of ourselves in this new year. He gives us our priorities and the foundation on what we should look to build our lives on in 2018. But before we get there, we have to note that what Jesus has to say, he sets in the context of the real world. I don't know how you feel as you look back over 2017. There was probably lots to celebrate. Lots of joy in your life. Lots of happy occasions. Lots of things to enjoy. But I assume that there were plenty of sad things too. Sad things in your life. Maybe you lost loved ones. Or suffered in some way or another. Maybe it was the stories of hurt and pain and suffering and despair which we saw in the news constantly throughout the year. The reality of living in a world which, although so often is glorious and wonderful, is at the same time broken. A world which is no different to the world which Jesus spoke into 2,000 years ago. Let's have a look down at Luke chapter 13, verse 1, page 1046. As Jesus speaks straight into the real world. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Now, we don't know any more specific details about this account. This particular event doesn't seem to be recorded in any of the other Gospels, or indeed in any of the extra-biblical material. Although we do know that such incidents did occur periodically. We don't know if this was the result of an attempted rebellion or if it was merely an abuse of power by Pilate. All we know is that it clearly upset the crowd, the people of Israel, people of Galilee, and it had left emotions running high. And then there's another similarly emotional national tragedy in verse 4, as Jesus continues, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Again, we're told of no more details. What caused this tower to collapse, or who was responsible, or who indeed was inside. But we know that it was a particular tragedy that clearly had people upset. And when we consider some of the terrible tragedies that occurred last year, in our time. Things like the shock in Grenfell Tower disaster, or the stomach-churning shooting at the Sutherland Springs Church in Texas, where 26 people were shot dead when they were worshiping in their church. And of countless other stories, which will inevitably have hit our headlines last year and will continue to do so over this coming year. The question is, how should we respond? What should we make of these things? How should we live our lives in response to these things? Well, the world that Jesus was speaking into 2,000 years ago is the same world which his word speaks into today. A world of pain and a world of sadness. A world filled with tragedies and disasters. But Jesus uses these tragedies to teach those in the crowd around him, to warn them of how they should respond to him. To see both of these tragedies, the collapse of the Tower of Siloam and the human blood that Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. As Jesus asked the question, do you think that there were these people who died in these disasters were any worse sinners or any more guilty than anybody else? Well, I tell you no, Jesus said. If you've ever read the book of Job, you'll know that it was the common line of thought in the ancient Near East culture to assume that bad things happen to bad people. That was the world, that the world was governed by some sort of retribution principle where God punished those who'd sinned in worse ways than those who'd hadn't. That he'd inflict suffering on evil and bad people. That's what Job's friends thought, and that was the counsel that they offered Job as he was suffering with all sorts of pain and affliction. But Jesus makes it clear that's not the case. That's not how God works. It's not his economy. If bad things happen to you, if bad things happen to people around us, it isn't because they're worse than anybody else. Rather, it's a symptom of living in a fallen and broken world, which is in desperate need of fixing. It's a signpost to the fact that we are desperate for something better. We shouldn't settle for anything less. Our suffering, which we may endure in this coming year, should leave us crying out for a better world. The very world which Jesus has promised us, that he will bring in when he returns to judge the world. When he comes back to put everything right. But what Jesus wants us to notice this evening is this. The tragedies that happen around us, well, they should remind us of our immortality. And the question, therefore, as we begin 2018, is are we ready for death? It's a cheery way to start the new year, isn't it? Thanks, James. I'm really glad I came along tonight. But that's the case. That's what Jesus is asking us tonight. That's what Jesus says our priority should be as we start this new year. We need to make sure that we're prepared to die. Are you ready for death? Monica and I are currently in the process of putting together and writing our wills. We suppose it's the wise thing to do because who knows what tomorrow holds? We want to, as best as possible, make sure that we leave our children in the best care possible and with as much protection as we possibly can. But that's not what Jesus is getting at here. If last year was anything to go by, and my guess is that there are maybe people in this room here tonight, and I include myself here, who perhaps won't see 2019. That's the reality that Jesus is speaking into. What therefore is our priority for today? For tomorrow, for 2018, as we begin this new year, when we realize the fragility of the world in which we live, when we realize the fragility of our own lives, which are the consequence of living in a broken and hurting world. We'll have a look down at chapter 13, verse 1 again. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Hopefully you see that Jesus' message is clear here. Our priority for 2018 should be repentance. We need to repent, or we too will perish. It's a blunt way to start the new year, isn't it? But Jesus is speaking to us in love here. Now, when Jesus speaks of perishing, he isn't speaking about mere death from this life. He's talking about an eternal death, of being cut off from God forever. Over Christmas, we've been hearing about how Jesus came to offer life and to receive this gift of life. We need to make sure our hearts are in the right place. Now we need to repent, to turn back to him, and to be living with him as king over our own lives. We need to accept Jesus into our lives and to be receiving his gift of grace by believing in him. And this is something that we need to be doing daily. We need to be accepting Jesus into our lives each day, to be trusting in him and not in ourselves. The warning from Jesus for each one of us is to keep living a life of humble repentance, living with Jesus as our King this year, and not ourselves. If you were here last Sunday morning, no doubt you will remember David standing here on the stage with a crown from a cracker on his head. And towards the end of his talk, he took that crown off and he threw it on the floor. Well, we all need to be taking that crown off our own heads each day and throwing them on the floor too, because the consequences, if we don't, Jesus warns, will be disastrous. If we harden our hearts to Jesus this year, if we refuse to repent and instead keep living for ourselves and trusting in ourselves, then when we face God's judgment, whether that's this coming year or further in the future, we will face the full force of God's wrath. It's a warning from Jesus that we need to build our lives around him this coming year, to keep him at the center. He's got to be in the center of our lives. We need to live with him as the king as we live out our daily repentance, so that we're ready to meet him whenever that may be. It's a warning that Jesus gives us in love. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. We need to be people this year who are repenting. But I guess the question that then leaves us with is, how do we know if we've really repented? How can I be sure that I'm really living as Jesus with Jesus as my king? I know I'm fallen. I know I'm a sinner. And I do my best to try and follow Jesus. But so often I mess up. So often I get it wrong. How can I be sure that my repentance is genuine? It's a huge question, isn't it? And it's a really important one for us to ask. Repentance is one of those Christian jargon words. It can be bandied around without us ever really pausing to consider what we really mean by it, what it looks like in practice. How do we know if we've really repented? How can we really be sure? Well, Jesus goes on to help us understand this very fundamental question as he tells a parable, a story in verses 6 to 9. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he couldn't find any. It just had leaves, no fruit at all. And so he said to the man who took care of this vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for this fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up all the soil? It's a waste of space." Sir, the gardener replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down. Well, the vineyard and the fig tree, I'm sure you'll realize, are common images used to depict the nation of Israel, God's people of the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel is described as a vineyard, which often bears bad or no fruit at all. It's frequently a picture of God's people failing to live as they're called to, and failing to honor the God who had given them so much. God's people who messed up time and time again throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But in the parable here, I think Jesus is turning the screw slightly. As I think he's focusing more on the individual tree amongst the vineyard. And so I think he's focusing on the individual here, on each one of us tonight, on you and on me. You see, God cares about the individual. He cares desperately about each one of us. And he's desperate for each one of us, for every person sitting in this room here tonight, to be living lives of repentance, to be living lives of true repentance. And the sign of repentance, Jesus says, is that we live lives that bear fruit. The sign of repentance, the mark of repentance, is that we live lives that bear fruit. This year in 2018, if we're living the repentant life with Jesus as our King, we can expect to see all sorts of fruit in our lives, a fruit that honors God. Now, unfortunately, Jesus doesn't give us a nice, neat checklist of the fruit here for us to tick off, to see how we're doing, to compare how we're getting on. For that, we really have to really get our head in the rest of Scripture to hear Jesus' words. In our second reading tonight, Margaret read a short extract from the Sermon on the Mount. I guess it leaves us asking the question, are you going to tell the truth this year? Are you going to bear fruit by forgiving those who wrong you this year? Are you going to pray for those who might persecute you this year, that they too might find eternal life in Jesus? As Rory talked about in our service this morning, are you going to bear fruit in your giving this year? Are you going to bear fruit by saying no to sin this year? Or maybe we could turn the screw slightly more. Who are you going to tell the truth to this year? Who are you going to forgive this year? Who are you going to pray for this year? Who is it that persecutes you, who you're going to pray that they might too become a Christian? Who are you going to help financially this year? Now, these are just a few of some of the examples that Jesus gives us in a few short verses. But there are many, many ways which we can honor Jesus with our lives this coming year and bear fruit. None of us are perfect. All of us are going to make mistakes and mess up. And we're going to continue to sin. But despite this, are we going to be people who are striving to grow, who are striving to live for Jesus, who are striving to bring him glory by obeying his word? We're going to be people striving to live with Jesus as King over our lives. Psalm 1, which we read together earlier in our service, sums this up for us. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. As we delight in God's word in 2018. As we read the Bible for ourselves. As we listen to sermons and talk about God's word in our home groups. Well, Jesus says we can expect to bear fruit as it molds and shapes our hearts. As we respond to Jesus and what he has to say to us, as we obey him, we can expect to see all sorts of fruit for the kingdom this coming year. The possibilities are endless. Maybe if you look back over 2017, or even 2016, you realize that actually, you probably haven't seen much fruit in your Christian life. Maybe you have a big question mark hanging over you this evening. Have you really repented? If fruit is the sign of repentance and, well, you haven't seen much fruit in your Christian life, have you really repented? Well, if that's you, and in a room of this size, I'm guessing there'll be some people here tonight for whom that's the case. Don't be discouraged. Because look at verses 8 and 9. Here we see that God, in his mercy and in his grace, is incredibly patient with each one of us. He's a God who wants us all to respond to him, to respond to him in repentance. And if you haven't yet, then there's still time. Unless you repent, judgment will come. But God's willingness to hold off, it shows his loving, merciful patience. And so make sure that this year, this week even, you start taking Jesus' words seriously. But unless you repent, Jesus said, you too will all perish. What is the sign of repentance? It's bearing fruit, serving and growing and delighting in Jesus. But don't hear this wrong. Don't hear Jesus' words wrong tonight, because he's not saying in 2018, you have to do this or you have to do that. Give more money or be a nicer person. Don't go home tonight with a list of things that you've come up with that you think you have to tick off to have produced enough fruit to satisfy Jesus. Because if you go home with that attitude, I'm afraid you still haven't got it. Rather, Jesus is calling on us all tonight to have such a repentant heart this year that we allow Jesus to mold it and to transform it. That we let the word of God fertilize it, fertilize our hearts this year. So that when you look back on 2018 at the start of 2019, you and others around you will be able to see how you've grown as you've borne fruit in your life for the sake of Christ's kingdom. And if this is something that you want to talk more about with somebody here this evening, then do come and chat to me at the end of the service or chat to a Christian friend here. Because this is something we need to take seriously and plan our lives around this coming year. And it's a loving warning that Jesus gives us this evening at the start of this new year to build our lives around him and around his words. To be people who, when it comes to the time for us to die, whenever that might be, are ready to meet him because we've repented, and we're already living with him as king over our lives. There's bound to be difficult times for all of us in the year ahead. There's bound to be times of hurt and pain and turmoil and even disaster. But when those times hit, let's not be distracted and deterred. Let's not be people who give up. But instead, let's keep looking to trust Jesus, to follow him, to serve him, and to keep living for him. Let's pray. But unless you repent, Jesus said, you too will all perish. Heavenly Father, these are hard words for us to hear. But we thank you that you speak them to us in love tonight. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to respond in the right way. that we'll respond with repentance. And as we live for you this year, we pray, Lord, that you'll encourage each one of us as we see fruit for your kingdom in our lives. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus this coming year and to live with him as King over each one of our hearts. We pray that you'll help us do this, Lord, that you'll be strengthening us and keeping us, trusting in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.